Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. Greetings, listeners, and welcome again to another episode of These Parts. I, of course, am one of your hosts, Elliot McNally, and with me, as always, is my brother, my friend, my traveling companion on this journey, Vince McNally. How's it going, Vince?
Elliot, it's going great. We once again find ourselves at the crossroads of history in the town that we're visiting.
Being here really makes me think of our great-great-grandfather, Rand, who was an entrepreneur, a mogul, a titan of industry of his day. Maybe to even appropriate a very common expression from our time, he was the Rand McNally of his time.
They did used to say that about him. They said, we're so lucky to have our generation's Rand McNally alive with us.
You know, he was very forward-thinking in map technology. At his time, when he was alive, the crux of the town we're in, their technology was very forward-thinking as well.
Absolutely. And still, to this day, some of their engineering marvels capture the imagination, though I think cutting edge might not be the word you use to describe them anymore.
It's more of like a blunt surface than an edge now.
Yeah, like a big shiny sphere with no edges whatsoever.
And I think that's actually an invention they use here in the town. Guys, we are in the northern part of the country this week in an amazing town, a town, Vince, I think we should put on the map.
Let's do it, Elliot.
So listeners at home, please take out, if they're not already out, your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. Mall map and your commemorative pushpins. Get ready to stick a pin in Colson, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Vince, why are we here today?
Elliot, we're here because Colson, strangely named now that it is a steam power mecca of sorts here in the United States. It lends a very interesting and ingenuitive aesthetic to the town, but don't take our word for it. We have a very special guest here to help us put the town on the map.
Our guest today is, I would consider her a steam-powered mogul, a titan of industry in her own right. Could you please introduce yourself?
Oh, do stop. You're such a god. Oh, I guess I'm Tabitha Cogspenny.
Tabitha, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, why, thank you for having me. It's just a joy and honor to be here with you. I can't remember the last time that I've met with others.
In your entire life?
Well, just, no, since this town, since Colston. It's just been, you know, we're a very close-knit family, and when others enter the family, it's a big day. It's a big day in Colson.
I see. It's been a while since you've entertained outsiders from the city.
We call them others, yes.
That's pragmatic of you. Well, Tabitha Cogspenny, was it?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
We know you're a woman of high regard and great importance, and you have a lot of demands on your time, so thanks so much for joining us on the show today. Before we jump into things, can you do us the great honor of sticking a pin in Colson, Michigan?
Oh, I would love to stick a pin. I would love to. I'm going to choose this copper pushpin, and I'll be shoving it in with my thumb. Here we are. And there it goes.
Well met.
So, Tabitha, can you tell us about who you are and your business as a focal point of Colson, Michigan?
Of course. So, you know, as most women, I am the wife of someone. So, my husband, an entrepreneur, if you will, he actually invented what we do call the steam car. Now, the steam car is a vehicle that runs, of course, only on steam. And you may think, what a beautiful idea, what wonderful idea. And in a way it is. And in a way, it's not. And I am his wife. he, of course, after inventing the steam car, the trend has blown up. We've named a town. And only people who belong in our traditional ways live amongst us, and I'm quite powerful simply because of my name alone.
So backing up a minute, he recently invented the steam car?
He did. Well, it's a new... I hate to do this, but I have to explain to you. There's a traditional way of invention, and then there's a way of reigniting an old invention simply by painting it brass colors. Do you understand?
So is your steam car a normal car, but painted sort of a metallic hue?
In a way, that is correct. That is correct. Well, less than a normal car, which I've never been in for 10 years, it is more of, well, what maybe the others would refer to as a cardboard box. It is a cardboard box, and what he has done is he has put a Tupperware in the back, which he fills with steaming water, and from a tea kettle, and then steam will come shooting out of a pipe in the top. He's painted it gold with a spray paint, and covered it in gears. Do you understand? He's glued gears on the side for whatever reason. Mm. I don't understand. He's put pipes on it. They don't do anything. Do you understand? They're just glued there.
Tabitha, I've got the user's manual here from the steam car. I thought this would come up given the inventive nature of your husband. It says here on page one, while driving the steam car, make sure to make the chugging and beeping noises with your mouth as you move along the street.
Exactly. Well, because there are no actual mechanics on the inside of the vehicle, you must make all of them yourself. So it's very much driving around, very much like in the Flintstones, where you would have your feet out the bottom, and you would power on your own, and you would have to make the oh, beep, beep, oh, grrr, gee, gee.
Whoa, are we in a car right now?
Hold.
Oh, stop it. No, that was just me. It was out of my mouth.
I thought our RV was kicking.
Yeah, I had to look out the window to make sure we were moving.
Oh, no, no. But people have been staring at the RV. They're wondering how they can take it apart and glue it to things.
Several citizens have actually hot glued different gears and pipes to the outside of our RV while we've been here for the past week.
Yes, boys, that will happen. It will also happen to you if you're not careful.
Yeah, we've been advised not to stand still for too long. I made the mistake of bird watching earlier, and now I've got this gear sewn into my shirt somehow. I didn't even notice the guy doing it.
It happens all the time.
So, Tabitha, I'm glad you cleared this up for me, because I was thinking that the steam car was an invention from, you know, the 19th century, because I know that you guys have a hatred towards Henry Ford in all gasoline-powered vehicles.
Don't get me started on Ford. It seems we've struck a nerve. Strike the nerve, boys. Well, here's the thing. Henry Ford was lucky enough to be named after a vehicle that did very well.
That's how that worked. He was named after the vehicle?
If I was named Tabitha Hyundai, I'm sure I'd be quite well known as well. But here he comes in all of his Ford glory, toting around a bucket of gasoline and waving it over everyone's head and making us all look like fools. Well, quite frankly, we don't need it. We don't need his gasoline. We don't need his steering wheels. And we certainly don't need his tires. There are other ways to do things.
Undeniably true.
I'm just saying he's not the only inventor in the world. You know, perhaps Harold Cogspenny might ring a bell if he had a car named after him to begin with.
That's right. No, you're right. You're right to say that.
But also, I think it was just he lived in a lucky time, Henry Ford. I think he was lucky enough to be around things at the time that were not easily accessible to other humans. And he just put them all together in a way that made him a lot of money. And, you know, good for him. But he's dead now, so look what happens to people like that.
Truly a stroke of fortune for him to live in Detroit when the Ford brand was, you know, invented.
Good timing, I'd say. Good timing.
Couldn't agree more. Elliot, when we're talking about strokes of economic luck and hard work and entrepreneurship, does a particular segment of ours pop into your head?
Of course it does, Vince. That would be one that we call giving them the business.
So listeners, it's not only about the sights and sounds and delights of the towns we visit. We also like to shine a spotlight on the hardworking normal folks and their small businesses in the towns that we visit. This is a great candidate here in Coulson. Tabitha, I'm sure there are dozens of, you know, scrappy inventors and little workshops that deserve a shout out. So if you've got any businesses in Coulson you want to give some praise to, here's the time.
Oh, of course. We're a bustling neighborhood, of course. Though I would say we're probably the most popular place is a food establishment. It's a restaurant of sorts, I should say. And they serve the normal American fare. Of course, you probably... there were at one point known as a McDonald's. However...
At one point, I believe they're still known as that.
Not here! Not here! Because once we get our hands on it, we will paint those golden arches brass. And we will...
Very subtle difference.
Cover it in hoses and wrap it in leather straps, if you will. And now it is an old McDonald's. So it is we quite all frequent the old McDonald's. It's a very, very well populated establishment, and they do serve a quite delicious American fare, French fries and milkshakes, all of the things that a regular McDonald's would sell. A lot of people here don't realize it's the same thing. They've just glued things to it. I see that. I feel like no one else sees that.
Well, I think there is the subtle difference. There is the subtle difference that all the food is made through steam. You know, normal McDonald's have grills and grease and oil, but because you guys denounce oil, you guys try to cook the, for instance, hamburgers by shooting steam at them. And what you're left with is sort of like a raw meat patty.
Nothing gets crispy here. Do you understand? Nothing. We eat a lot of soup and a lot of vegetables. And that's it. My God, I would kill for a crispy fish fillet or even a ham sandwich. I'd kill for a ham sandwich. But do you think you can steam a ham? Well, you could, and I've done it. Lord, I'd give my left arm for... plane ticket, but you know, we can't Tupperware a plane.
That's saying a lot too, because your right arm is a prosthesis made out of different pipes and gears.
Oh yes, it is. Don't remind me. It's very cumbersome, but you know, it is quite aesthetically pleasing. So yes, you'll notice that my arm here, I can't lift it above my shoulder, strictly because of all of the adornments.
It looks very heavy.
It is so heavy. So I do keep it in this brass sling, which you'll see here. It is fastened to my arm in a way that I cannot move it at all. I can't move my arm at all. And I lean slightly to the side because of the weight, do you see? So because of that, I have a false hip. I've put in brass, of course, and it's been fastened with 1,000 screws. And because of that, because of that, I now also wear a prosthetic foot on the other side to keep my weight shifted. Do you understand?
So it's a really delicate balancing act.
It is a delicate balancing act. They always put me front and center at the state fair. Do you understand?
I think I do. It should be noted while we're on the subject, I love the whole aesthetic you're going for. I love your attire, your top hat, which is oversized and violet in color, is sort of now askew on your head so that as your upper body is tilted, the top hat goes straight up and down.
Absolutely. And I do have to point out that I have not seen either of you the whole time we've been sitting here because it has been covering my eyes. I just want to point that out to our listeners that this has been a blind interview, in a way, a blind interview. And because of my arm, of course, I cannot lift it up. But boys, actually, typically I'm not around people that are helpful. Could you please pull the hat up above my... Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
Vince, maybe if
Thank
you can
you
get
so
one side,
much.
This is very heavy.
This is... Oh, okay.
And I have to say, now that we can see your eyes, what a lovely monocle that you've sported for the occasion.
This is what we call a triple monocle. It's a triplicle. We call it a triplicle. Mono, of course, meaning one. Triple meaning three. Why do something once or twice when you can do it thrice? That's what Harold always says. And Harold's never wrong, which we know. He's got that slogan everywhere.
Well, so we've talked about the big old McDonald's, pardon me. What other, for instance, where'd you go to get all these prostheses made?
Oh, yes, of course. Well, the prostheses, of course, we don't have them made. We make everything in-house, as you could say. House meaning Coulson, of course. So people do crawl out of the woodwork, literally. Literally, they crawl out of the woodwork, which is where they live, and they bring their hot glue guns, and they bring their...
To clarify, is woodwork what you call houses here?
Yes, quite frequently, it is what we call our homes. We go, you know, you finish a long day at work, I'm going home to the woodwork, because you never stop working here, do you understand? We all have a 9-to-5. We all have jobs, you know. In fact, at one point, before I was important, I was a gardener. Can you believe it?
Not for a moment.
You can believe it after a moment.
No, I can't believe it. Not at all. Not in the least.
That's correct, because by the look of this garment, you would think I've never been in the sun in my life. But no, so we all have our 9-to-5 jobs. You have to survive. How else will you afford your old McDonald's? But then we all go home to the woodwork, where we continue to work because we are tirelessly creating our homes and our clothing and our adornments, our choker necklaces, do you understand? Our eye goggles and our guns that don't fire, do you understand? We have covers for things, for our phones that don't work, and our computers that we haven't turned on. We've covered them in brass and gears. Well, we all have... no one's born in Coulson. Do you understand? This is a fairly new town. Oh, everyone's okay. Come here from somewhere because they want to escape regular living.
It makes
but
sense.
But no one likes to throw things away, of course. It's hard. It's quite hard to let memories go. So people will move here and they'll just convert them to new memories by gluing screws and hoses and things.
That brings up a good point, because this used to be an old coal mining town, and you guys moved here and appropriated it as a steam town.
Entirely. Well, coal's very dirty. I don't know if you've ever touched coal, but it's quite dirty. You'll get your hands all black and gray. If you touch anything, you have an itch on your nose. Oh, fuck. Oh, sorry.
No, don't worry at all. This is an adults-only program. Not by design. It just so happens that no one under the age of 74 listens to it with any regularity.
Usually those are people that have accidentally left their computers running.
I have to say, sometimes old traditions die hard.
We couldn't agree more. Speaking of an old tradition, Elliot, we've got one that I really like on the show.
I agree, Vince. That's in a segment that we call Wouldn't You Like to Know?
So listeners, we love to give you the chance to write in with your specific questions, queries, and inquisitions for us and our guests about the towns that we're staying in. We have time to read three each and every week. This week is no different. Elliot, I've got the first one right here.
Great. What is it, Vince?
It is written... Oh, well, this is a treat. This is on steamed paper, so it's very soggy. It
seems to be falling apart in your hands.
I have to read this quickly. Talk about all the blunderbusses here in Coulson. Oh, and now it's vaporized, basically.
Wow.
Sorry, listener, that I didn't get a chance to read your name.
Oh, of course, of course. For anyone listening, a blunderbuss happens to be a large, would you say, gun?
Yes, a musket of sorts.
What it is, really, all we've done, to be honest, is we've found an old musical instrument store. We've bought them out of trumpets. And we've just... you take a trumpet and a super soaker water gun, okay? And you tape them together using electrical tape. It's very strong. It does hold quite well, to be honest. And you pull off random bits and pieces of both parts, okay? So it doesn't actually fire anything or work. And you want to make it your own. So grab some knobbies and some... you know, some handles, and just pull them off, and then glue them to a different part. Anywhere. Anywhere you see fit.
You know, Tabitha, you say that Harold does all the work, but you yourself are sort of like a retro-futurist MacGyver. It seems like you can make anything.
I'm just a witness. I'm a witness. I don't get my hands dirty, not since gardening, which I did truly love. I did. But... you glue them on willy-nilly, if you will, and then you grab... I would prefer to use a spray paint. Some people don't like spray paint because it's not steam-powered, of course. So what some people do is they put a can of paint in a bucket of steam, and they wait 17 hours for it to bubble and boil, and then they dip. It's a dipping process, and they dip the blunderbuss right in a bucket. And then what comes out is a beautifully shiny and non-working weapon slash instrument. It's quite a wonderful process to see.
The mind boggles at just how intricate the customs here are. And thank you so much for shedding some light. I can see why you have so many blunderbusses, given just how vague the description of what an actual blunderbuss is.
No purpose at all. It doesn't do anything.
Much like a lot of things in this town, they seem kind of superfluous, but so much work goes into them.
Oh, quite. Quite. You're understanding steampunk.
And it seems like a lot of work went into this next letter, guys. It's several pages long. I'm just going to paraphrase it.
Thanks, Elliot. Your ability to paraphrase on the fly never ceases to amaze me.
Thanks, Vince. It's from Gary in Montana, Wyoming. Sounds like a made-up place to me.
That's not confusing at all.
Gary says... He is a huge fan of the, he puts it in quotes, steampunk movement. Never heard of that before. But he says that's why he really likes Colson, Michigan. He's also a huge cinephile, and he loves the old Wild West steampunk movie Deliverance, which he says was shot and set in Colson, Michigan. Can you guys talk about it?
Wait a minute. That doesn't sound right to me.
It doesn't. I'm IMDBing it right now. Deliverance. He says it stars Will Smith.
That doesn't sound right.
Oh, yes. We get this one quite often. We do.
Oh, you do? Maybe you could shed some light on this for us.
Well, it's just the film Deliverance, which I did see before I was brought to a town that doesn't allow televisions. It's the film Deliverance is quite unique, is it not? It's quite unique.
It is very unique.
In its setting of with trains and dirt and such, and Will Smith, such a wonderful actor, such a wonderful role, and people do think it was set here because of all of the dirt and the brownness, and our town is so brown. There's not been just a touch of color. Now you'd think this was a black and white city, but it's not. And so it's quite frequent that people come here and they think that the Brown movie, Wild Wild West, was also... Oh, I'm sorry. It's quite frequent that people come here and they do think that that the movie Deliverance was shot here, but they will be mistaken. It was not. I did not star in it. That was not me. That was the very...
Well, I don't know if anyone's suggesting that was the case.
Very quite famous and beautiful other woman that looks exactly like me.
Kevin Kline?
I don't recall that portion being in the actual letter, Elliot, but then again, I didn't read it all like you did.
I don't think it was, Vince. And I feel like Gary is maybe confusing two different movies, but... I think we should put on the record here that Deliverance was neither shot nor set in Colson, Michigan. It was...
Was it not?
No.
Well, it was not?
I don't believe that it was.
That's a new one. I'll have to change the plaque at the Welcome Center.
Oh, it's already on a plaque here?
Oh, we have a whole exhibit. Yes. Yes,
exhibit,
we do. We have a whole exhibit and a tour.
Wow.
We have a tour.
Well, I can see why he was confused, at least now.
We have a tour that's hosted by Will Smith. I'm surprised that no one's told him that he didn't film the film here.
I'm surprised that he is confused also about this.
Well, that's quite interesting.
Now, Tabitha, let's leave that one to the sands of time to figure out. Instead, can you read the third question for us?
Oh, absolutely. Let me unfurl it. It's on a scroll.
Oh, that's very awesome. I would love our scroll questions.
Why? What is this? Red silk.
The scroll is made of red silk.
Look at this. It was written in a colored pencil. All right. This says... hello. I have never been to Colson. I am curious if I do visit, if I might be allowed to bring my pet cat. Signed, Peter in Montreal. What a wonderful question, Peter. What a wonderful question. And actually, the answer is no, for several reasons.
You guys are not pet-friendly around here.
We are not a pet-friendly town, which is a shame. We had to leave all three of our family dogs when we moved here, which was a shame. We just left them on the side of the road.
Tabitha, if I may interrupt you for a second, it seems like you had some sort of a past life that you are... seemingly pining for all the time.
Have I been alluding to that? Oh boy, that is just so, that's so me. I did live in San Bernardino with Harold. We did live there. It's Tabitha Cornmelon. My name's Tabitha Cornmelon. I was a very well-paid computer programmer there.
Wow.
Things were really going really well, and
I see you're sort of comfortably removing your prosthesis arm and sort of relaxing. Yeah. You look a lot happier right now.
What brought you guys here? Why did Harold want to come here?
You know, he wanted to get away. He was working. He was working at eBay, and he said that he was working in their auction house feature, and he was becoming incredibly overwhelming for him. He said there were so many auctions he couldn't keep track of anything, and
Tabitha, keep it together, it's okay.
And he was mostly in charge of doing the auctions for the vehicles, and he started taking it very seriously. He would come home so late at night, and he would just be crying about cars and why didn't he have a car? You know, he worked so hard to put cars in other people's hands and not his own. He worked so hard, and all we did with his income was pay our rent and buy dog food. And we couldn't even afford to eat most times because it's so expensive in San Bernardino. And
oh, wow.
Tabitha.
And I loved, you know, I always have been, love being around plants, and we only were allowed to have a flower box because there's just not a lot of land there, and I loved it. I loved that flower box. It was my day and night. You know, I tried everything to keep that tulip alive. I did it, and then there was a cold front in the tulip.
Tabitha. Elliot, it always seems that we trigger some sort of mental breakdown in our guests.
Yeah, I know. But I think I speak for both of us, Vince, and our listeners, that they were hoping to hear Tabitha Cogspenny on the show. So let me just help you with this prosthesis back on and your top hat.
Is
that better?
So, Peter, the answer you're looking for is... we don't allow cats because you can't put a tiny monocle on it. Do you understand? It'll fall right off. It'll fall right off and crack into a million pieces.
Just like the lives of so many people that have moved to Colson, Michigan. Wow.
I'm much better. Thank you, Peter, for your letter. Thank you. What a wonderful question.
And thank you, Tabitha, for working through that on the air during our show. Elliot, I think we should work on through to our next segment, one I'm really excited about.
Me too, Vince. It's called You Can't Do That Here.
Listeners, across this great nation come the quirks and legal oops gotchas of many different old legislations. That's one of the things we find most interesting about American history, is how one thing might not be kosher from one place to the next. I'm sure Colson's got some interesting ones up its prosthetic sleeve. So, Tabitha, if you would, take us through some of the things you can't do.
Oh, of course, yes. Some of the things that you can't do. Now, Harold has put in a very strict list of things you cannot use here, of course. One of which, you may not use any sort of battery-powered device. No batteries. You must find a way between your friends and neighbors to make your battery-powered devices run on steam alone. It's quite interesting. And soggy and wet, which is funny because then your alarm clock doesn't work. It's soaking wet, and then we're all late to everything.
That does sound like a gas.
Oh! You also cannot say that anything is a gas. It's a steam.
That was insensitive of me. I really should have anticipated that.
Well, and it's imperative that you guys aren't late because in order for the town to function, people constantly have to be cranking gears or levers to make things work.
Absolutely. Things need to be cranked. They need to be turned. So if let's say Billy in the clock tower goes on a break when he's not assigned to and he stops turning his gears, then the clock will not strike and the bell will not go and then church will not happen and then God will not exist.
Wow, that kind of spirals out of control very fast.
It very yeah, quickly, really, very
that
quickly.
Gets away from you in a hurry if you're not careful.
You must keep turning the gears. That's what Harold always says. Turn those gears, turn them. They don't turn. They're glued on. He doesn't understand, but we must keep turning. Turn, turn, turn.
This is, that's fascinating. I couldn't have anticipated that's the case. I didn't know there was such a religious element to the steampunk here. I mean, what else should we look out for? That would have caught me completely off guard, Tabitha.
Oh, yes. You may not wear any bright colors here. You may not use any colored paints. If you are painting your woodwork, then you must paint it wood colors. Do you understand? Mm. No flashy colors.
Except, of course, gold and brass.
Yes, right? Gold and brass, brown. We have the option to use several shades of brown, which is quite nice. You can really show variety. You can really show your personality if you choose a tan. Or a beige, perhaps. Well, the beige is pushing it. That is getting a little light. Harold wouldn't like that. But you might be able to paint your bed frame or something beige, and he wouldn't know unless he's cheating on me.
Well, let's hope that isn't happening.
Oh, let's hope. Let's hope.
Yes, let's hope.
I haven't seen the color pink in 26 years.
You guys have lived here that long. Wow.
No, we've lived here for 10, but I just chose not to see it in San Bernardino.
Oh, I see.
Well, something that I feel like you might be able to relate to, Tabitha, is something I ran into. I was walking around just trying to, you know, purvey the local restaurants, and I was stopped by a police officer in a steam car. He pulled up next to me and told me that it is illegal for me to be walking around without a corset. And that goes for males and females alike.
It sure does. And it does. And also sometimes we put corsets on things like mailboxes and anything else that stands up straight, light poles wear a corset. We do put them on anything that's long and stands up straight and may hold one. We wrap a corset around it. It's much like what people may refer to as yarn bombing. We corset bomb.
I can see the tailpipe of our RV has a tiny little corset on it. I have to say it's a bit darling, actually.
That is a precious one. I wonder who did that. That is precious.
Vince, have you ran into any laws that you found interesting?
You know, I thought that I was going to preempt this whole thing, and I thought I was gonna really know how to fit in, and so what I did was I had a little corncob pipe, and I was smoking it, and I even glued a little gear to it, and I was puffing along. But lo and behold, that's not kosher. You can't do that here. You cannot smoke things because smoke is not steam, yet it masquerades as such. That's what the constable told me.
Yes, people get quite confused. If they see smoke, then they'll try to run something off of it, and they'll end up catching many things on fire. We've burned down half the town by accident because people thought that smoke could power a book, and it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm confused as to how they got that one wrong, but
a lot of people, they don't realize you must use your mind power along with the steam power to make things run.
The power of imagination.
The power of your brain.
This must be hard for you, Tabitha. I mean, being a computer scientist, computer engineer as you were, and coming to a town that is devoid of all modern technology.
You know, it is actually quite refreshing. It's quite refreshing. I give it a hard time, but really it's nice. It's nice to be in a place that does not require so much, you know, there's no stress here. There's very little stress. Everyone works together. Which is nice. And before in San Bernardino, I must say I never spoke to my neighbors. I don't know if I had neighbors. They may have been dead. Here, I know very well my neighbors. It's Victoria and Taylor. They're quite nice. And they help me glue. They'll help me glue anything together. They have a great array of paints. You know, do you understand? We all work together here. So it is a nice and refreshing community, which I did not experience before. Plus, we're all, you know, all feel quite rich and lavish because of all of the, you know, all of the large adornments. So it's quite nice. In San Bernardino, I was lucky if I could wear a ribbed tank top and a pair of denim shorts. That was lucky that I could wear any clothes at all because we were so poor. Here, we can save our savings and actually, you know, look quite
dapper. That's
a good word. Dapper, yes. Extravagant. That's what I was looking for. Quite extravagant.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And when you put it like that, it really opens my eyes to the truth about Coulson. When I first got here, maybe I'll admit, I thought it was a little convoluted. I thought it was a little, you know, ostentatious. But looking at it now, the community, the togetherness that it promotes, wow, it's something beautiful. Don't you agree, Elliot?
I completely agree. And I think we've talked a lot about the town, Vince. And now I feel like we just need a rapid fire segment to bring it all home.
Yeah, let's. What do you call it when you kick a steam vessel into overdrive, Tabitha?
Whoopsie poopsie, here we go.
That's not what I anticipated, but whoopsie poopsie, here we go into a segment we call Did You Know?
Listeners, Did You Know is, of course, our rapid fire fast-paced segment firing five facts at you, the listener, from whatever town we're in. Guys, I've got the first one.
Elliot, let's hear it.
Did you guys know that Coulson, Michigan has their own Banksy-esque graffiti artist?
Well, it's fascinating. I wouldn't have anticipated that. What's it all about?
Well, as I'm sure you know, Tabitha, graffiti is illegal here, as it is in most places, but they haven't really nailed this guy, this Banksy-esque graffiti artist, because he hasn't actually finished one piece of graffiti. He's an Art Nouveau graffiti artist, so it takes an incredibly long time to paint something.
That is correct, yes. He also is quite good at disguise because of all of the goggles he wears. He's completely covered in goggles, so it's quite hard to tell his identity. We've all seen him. He's right there. You can look through the window, boys. He's
painting
your RV. Do you understand? I'm looking at him right in the eyes. I can't tell who that is. Who is that, Trevor? That may be Trevor.
Trevor, is that you? Oh, he's starting to scamper away.
He goes by the name Steamsy.
He's quite fascinating. He does great work. I hope he finishes one day.
Well, I didn't know that. Elliot and Tabitha. Tabitha, I'm pretty sure you know this, but did you know? Coulson is trying to keep the airship alive. In the form of the Coulson Zeppelin.
I didn't know that, Vince. What's the Coulson Zeppelin?
Well, I'll let Tabitha expound upon it, but it's a big steam-powered blimp of sorts that carries people throughout the town.
Absolutely. You know, it works quite tremendously. Now, what we've done here is we've taken one of our steam-powered vehicles, as I mentioned before, cardboard box, with people's feet at the bottom as wheels. And what we've done is we've put some sticks, very, very strong sticks, on the front and back. And then we've put a balloon. And now what we've done is we've written Zeppelin on the side. And we just stand slightly straighter when we run. So we're just a little taller than everyone else. And the balloon makes us so recognizable from everywhere. Oh, there's the Zeppelin. Oh, here comes the Zeppelin. And then once a year, we do a big show where we set it aflame. We usually bring in one of the boys that doesn't understand the difference between steam and smoke, and we let him have a fun day, and we let him set it on fire, and we all yell, "Oh, it's beautiful! Look at it! Oh, the beauty! It's beautiful!" And no one gets hurt, of course. It's all for fun and games, and it's quite nice. It is very nice when you see it in the sky.
Well, Vince, when you mention a mass transit vehicle like the Coulson Zeppelin, my mind went right to the steam engine, but I haven't seen one of those around town.
We don't have one.
I see. Well, maybe instead of a steam engine, Tabitha, you have the next Did You Know fact for us.
Did you know that Coulson is the largest manufacturer of penny farthing bicycles?
Wow. I had no idea. I didn't know that. That makes perfect sense.
Well, yes. See, what happens is we take regular bicycles, And then we pull them all apart, and then we'll take perhaps a children's bicycle and then an adult bicycle. And then we'll reassemble them together so one wheel is tiny and one wheel is large, and then we sell them. That's how we make our money.
I had no idea that's how those bicycles were made, by taking a normal-sized bicycle and a children's bicycle and putting them together.
That's all it is! That's all it is! Don't be fooled. Nothing is as it seems in Coulson. That's what Harold said.
I'm getting that insight more and more as we go through, and I didn't know that. But guys, did you know that Coulson has more people per capita than anywhere in the country die trying to challenge different vehicles and machines every year?
I see the old John Henry parable come to life.
Yeah, so, you know, it might not be something as industrious as a steam engine or a steam hammer like the killed John Henry. People might be trying to just make a cup of coffee faster than a steam coffee machine, or try to sew a corset faster than a steam sewer. And of course, these things are just very powerful, and the people will give up or die a lot quicker.
That's correct. Yes, they're quite powerful and not effective, I will say. Most of these inventions are invented by the people of the town, and we're not the brightest, I will say. Not the brightest. And so when you're putting things like knives and needles in the hands of idiots, and you're controlling them by buckets of hot water, then, well, there will be problems.
And yeah, and I will say the caveat is the machines may go faster and end up killing the people, but you're not left with an actual functional product at the end. The machines just work faster. They don't create anything worthwhile.
No, it's a pile of junk.
You know, Tabitha, it must be said, the amount of candidness in your interview has been really refreshing.
Oh, why, thank you. Thank you. It's been really lovely talking to others. I feel like perhaps if there's room in the RV, I might go home with you. Seriously, take me home.
Well, we'll get Xander on the phone and see what he thinks about our legal implications in taking a refugee out of a city. But until then, did you guys know that one of the actual most impressive inventions in Coulson here is these big walking robots that you can sort of sit in and control, but don't seem to have any actual practical applications.
Interesting. I've seen these around, Vince. So they don't have any practical applications. What are people using them for?
From what I can tell, they look really cool. And then there are some sort of like vague explanations that, well, in a world without gasoline, this is actually efficient, et cetera, et cetera. I don't really buy any of it, but
yeah, and you can't say that they do nothing, because they do. In fact, so the way that it is constructed is that it's several cardboard boxes that are stacked upon each other, and then inside, three people on each other's shoulders. Yes, do you understand? Much like in an old black and white sitcom, perhaps, when they're putting people on their shoulders with an old trench coat. Yes, to seem taller. Much like that, but boxes. And they do things. They do. One of them will reach forward and has a claw hand and can try to grab things, but not quite pick them up.
Well, I hate to alarm you guys, Vince, but as we've been sitting in the RV, it seems like people have removed the wheels of the RV and replaced them with some sort of cardboard box mechanical spider legs.
That is correct. And there's probably people in there about to power them. Oh, we're moving! We're moving!
Oh, we are moving.
We're moving. I think that's a cue as good as any for us to wrap up today's show. Again, Tabitha Cogspenny, thank you so much for joining us. You're a busy woman with lots to say, and that was great. Elliot, should we saunter our mechanical legs over into our last segment?
We should. That's Wish You Were Here.
So listeners, in a perfect world, you join us on all of our adventures to each and every town that we visit. That's not possible, though, so instead, we have the next best thing, an audio postcard from us to you.
It goes something like this. Dear listener, wish you were here in Coulson, Michigan.
A town devoted to the wonders of steam power.
A town with the candidly amazing steam-powered mogul, Tabitha Cogspenny.
A town where many of the inventions that you see could pass as cardboard boxes, given that's exactly what they are.
A town where you can't go anywhere without a corset, but you'll be holding your breath the entire time, marveling at all the inventions.
A town where the old and the new become one very confusing pastiche.
In a town that I am not confused at all about wanting to leave.
A ta-ta from these parts to yours.
Guys, thanks for joining us in Colson, Michigan this week. Come back next week when we're in Maynard, North Dakota.
Maynard, North Dakota, like many towns, has a statute that says no building can rise above the town hall. Now, unfortunately for the citizens of Maynard, the town hall burned to the ground decades ago. Now, no structure is allowed to be over 2.5 feet tall. Join us. It's going to be interesting.